The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
It is 5:07 on the Central Coast. It is Friday, March 22nd, 2024. In about an hour, Jack Hardy, Money in the Talk Show Bank. He always delivers the goods. Today, Jack and I are going to talk about San Francisco and whether or not they're swinging conservative due to recent decisions. I want to take a second here. We'll do the open line in a few minutes. I'm going to be gone. Looks like I'm going to miss all the excitement. You know, we have talked a lot about parking, and we just kind of got into a little bit last segment with Dr. Nelson. But it's been an ongoing debate about the city of San Luis Obispo, and they're building the parking garage, and they've raised the parking rates, and a lot of folks rebelled back in November, and the city called for a timeout. And they called for a parking study. All right, fine. Well, now it looks like they're at the phase that there are going to be recommendations brought to the city council. This is going to be on April 16th. This is going to be a study session on April 16th at the council chambers. But on April 4th, there's going to be a public meeting at the Ludwig Community Center from 6 to 8 p.m., where they're going to kind of give an overview of the study and solicit your input. And then the next night, during the day, April 5th from 12 to 1:30, you're going to be able to zoom in. So April 4th, there's a public meeting, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Ludwig Center here in San Luis. The very next day from 12 to 1:30, there's going to be a Zoom meeting. And then the city council is going to have a study session. And you can attend that. So there are three opportunities here for you to... We heard Chris, and I'm not disagreeing completely with Chris, but Chris was making the argument that you can't come late to the game. You've got to be involved. So, all right, here's your chance to be involved. They've been doing this study. Taxpayers have paid a lot of money for this. This stuff is never cheap. And I'll remind you of this before I leave. I'm going on vacation April 3rd. And maybe we can talk about this before that happens. Other things. Congratulations to my banking buddy, Nancy Stollmiller at Community West Bank. Last week, she was presented with a Lifetime Achievement Award. A Lifetime Achievement Award. It's amazing. She's not that old. On behalf of her work for the Point San Luis Lighthouse, I served on the board with Nancy for a few years. That's how I met her. She's a wonderful person. She's a great banker, and she is oh so deserving of that honor. So, Nancy, congratulations. As I mentioned earlier, we have some really important segments coming up next week. Wednesday, we have the chief of police, Rick Scott, confirmed. Let's talk with the chief and follow up about St. Fratty's weekend. And what did they know and when did they know it? And what's his assessment of the situation? And what does he think should happen next? On Thursday, we have a tentative commitment from the mayor, Mayor Stewart, to come in and follow up on that conversation. I'm particularly interested with the mayor about our relations between the city and the university and how we plan ahead to make sure that those kind of weekends stop, please. So we have those two back to back. And then personal favorite, Friday at 5, we get a half hour with the one, the only, Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry is the legendary radio personality who skyrocketed to fame in the 2000s as the syndicated talk show where he did basically a satire of talk shows. And you tune into his show and there'd be a host interviewing a guest and getting angry callers. But what people didn't always understand is that Phil was doing all the voices. He was the host. He was the guest. He was the callers. And for a couple of years, we had the pleasure of having him on this station after my show. Anyway, there's this wonderful documentary that I've watched on Amazon Prime, just called Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. It's only $4.99 to rent. Check it out. I think anybody who loves radio, because it talks about how in the late 80s, early 90s, all these guys jumped in and created this new kind of radio with emphasis on entertainment in terms instead of the serious news stuff. So he had Howard Stern and he had Rush Limbaugh and you had Tom Likas and he had Phil Hendry. Phil, I've never met Phil. We've never communicated before, but we're Facebook friends. I'm not even sure how that happened. And so I just sent him a message today. I said, Phil, I saw your documentary. We'd love to have you on the show. He wrote back right away. He said, I'd love to do the show, but you got to clear this with my PR people. Otherwise, they'll get upset. So I sent an email, and they responded right away, and Phil responded right away, happy to do it. So we're all on board for Friday afternoon. So Rick Scott, Erica Stewart, Phil Hendry. I just... beaming from ear to ear on that one. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll have our Friday afternoon open line. Dave Congleton, Craig Hill, that equals Hometown Radio. On the Stolberg Law text line, there was a high school student that was killed when she was riding her bike down one of the streets downtown and a car door opened and she was killed. I believe she was a San Luis High School student. Craig, what would the week be without a call from Dirk?
Yeah, you got to get to that one.
Are you ready for this?
Yep.
All right, here's Dirk on KVEC. Hey, Dirk.
Yeah, I mean, between my steak and potato dinner, but in honor of Easter, I'd like to, once and for all, just very briefly in a minute or two, finally debunk Christianity and Jesus and put it to rest. It involves a brief little history about Rome. Is it okay?
Sure, Dirk. For you, anything.
Okay. So about 2,000 years ago, Rome was conquering everything, and they were pretty much conquered, you know, Palestine and all that, and they came in conflict with certain types of Jews. Rome was very accommodating of all kinds of different religions, okay? They just absorbed them. As long as you would worship their Caesar, then they encountered the Messianic Jews of Jerusalem who would not do that. That led to the Jewish-Roman wars. So what happened, transpired, make this really simple, is what happened with Rome, was there a historical Jesus? There may be quite a number of them, but the Jesus that's outlined in the Gospels is a Greco-Roman, Roman pagan Jesus, had nothing to do with the Messianic Jews of the day. What Rome attempted to do was pacify the area. They invented that religion, putting something in place which is more pro-Roman. That is the history of Christianity. This turn thy cheek, love thy neighbor. That's Caesar, Julius Caesar. That's what he did to his enemies. And then they turned around and assassinated him. It goes on and on and on. The works of Joseph Atwell proves pretty conclusively that the Gospels are tied to Rome.
Yeah,
they were highly literate.
Dirk,
most people were illiterate. Yeah.
A question. Why do you care? Why does it matter?
I've been a student of religion for decades.
I salute that, but why do you care?
Poverty of exile, what used to be my own country, putting up with all kinds of... I took a little bit of umbrage of the people, the local stories you had the other day. Now, I've had different experiences in Mission Plaza of having people set me up and throw me in jail and are in and around those churches. I've had a different experience. I'm from San Diego with a Catholic church. I've been around all those soup kitchens and whatnot. They're still fighting their child molest bankruptcy and hiding assets. It goes on and on. These are not spiritual organizations. They are social, economic, political. I'm spiritual. I don't like the preferences of the people they prefer third world countries and crap, and they're setting me up and so mean to you. That's why I care. I'm not backing down for anybody. I'm not looking for consensus.
We want you to be you, Dirk. Just be you.
I'm going to be me. Thank you.
All right, Dirk. Thank you. We're official now. We've heard from Dirk. Well, here's a question for Craig on the Stolberg line. Why can't I find yesterday's podcast with Senator Laird?
I put it up about 15 minutes ago.
Okay.
Sometimes it takes a while to post, as you well know. And it's either there now or it will be up soon, but it has been posted. I had to cut out yesterday a bit early, so I was not able to post the final hour.
Where are your priorities?
Yeah,
no strawberry cake for you.
No. Had to go do a school open house.
Because Craig is parent number one. He's super dad. I salute you for that.
He's just more of a priority.
Well, no, as it should be. Oh, man, this is going to be a crazy hour. On the Stolberg line, please tell Dirk that Jews don't believe in Jesus. Well, I don't.
Is that like an instigating text, or is that?
I don't know.
Or do they actually believe that?
I just read them. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Pick up the phone, give us a call, shoot us a text. Why would you do that? Well, maybe you just want to say hi. Maybe you have an event that you want to promote. Maybe you want to ask a question. Maybe there's something you want to talk about that we haven't talked about. Maybe there's something you want to follow up on. Or maybe you want to talk about Dirk.
I think maybe the text meant they don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God.
I'm just reading.
But, I mean, that it maybe he here, existed as a human being at
please,
one point. Maybe. I don't.
Please tell Dirk, Jews don't believe in Jesus.
Okay. Well, Dirk's been told.
What do you got going on this weekend?
Just working around the house. Got some stuff to do. Trying to get my RV fixed up. I got to fix the steps for the RV. That's about it.
Well, we can go home.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here at 5:30. Just start Jack a little bit early, and then we can play the first half again. Be like a loop.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, you know, of all the days that we have the last call, I'm not really in a chatty mood today. And so I'm like, yeah, of course we're doing last call. You know, I'm just not jumping in on.
Why aren't you in a chatty mood?
Because I'm in like a really bad mood today. Like, I don't know what it is. Well, I know what it is, but I'm writing my brother's thing.
Yeah.
And I've been just not working on it here, but, you know, writing notes and thinking about notes and thinking about stories. And so it's just one of those things where just not in the mood.
All right. Craig's not in the mood. That means I'm on my own here. 805-543-8830. Or 800-549-5832. Let's go up to Creston to find Ann on KVEC. Hey, Ann.
Hey, Dave. I just want to say bon voyage, and I'm wondering if you're going to tell us about your trip before you leave, or are we going to wait until after you get back?
What would you like to know?
Oh, I don't know. You could just tell us a little bit about your trip, about where you're planning on going.
The lovely Kathy and I are going to fly to Amsterdam because that's been on my bucket list for as long as I can remember. I didn't plan to go for the first time at age 70, but that's the way it works. And we're going to spend a couple days there, and then we're going to board our first and probably only river cruise.
Ooh.
And we're going to cruise around the Netherlands and Belgium.
Yeah, nice.
And come back for a couple more days in Amsterdam, and then come home and tell you all about it.
Great. So, unfortunately, when's your last day working there? Or I think I'm going to miss it when you come back.
I'll be back on the 17th.
Oh, yeah. I'm leaving here on the 7th of April, so I won't really have access to the podcast. But I just wanted to find out. But hey, bon voyage! You know, that's great. Well, happy days. As you probably know, Robert Louis Stevenson wrote a really good book about his adventure on that river in Belgium. It's one of his best books ever. Nonfiction, autobiographical.
No, something to read on the river.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of the other people will have already read it, and then they're going to be looking for the same things that he saw, that he wrote down. He did it in a kayak with one of his buddies from college when he was about 26.
I was going to say, he had to be young.
Yeah, well, he was young, but he sure had an adventure, so I just wanted to recommend that book. You might want to glance at it before you get on that river cruise, and he's such a good writer.
He is indeed. Ann, thanks for the recommendation. We will talk before I leave. Good to hear from you. We got Jack in San Luis on KVEC. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Jack.
Good guest in the preceding hour. I guess it's kind of the more of the similar theme, commitments to bad ideas, and along with the commitment to the high-speed rail, which actually the LA Times just recently wrote about how it may well be doomed, and you sent me a screenshot of a San Francisco Chronicle article as well. So hopefully that thing will just die on the vine. However, I'm calling to talk about what's right in the community. What's right in the community is a restaurant, Nate's on Marsh. Have you been?
No, I've heard he apparently has quite a following. The people who have been to it tend to rave about it.
Yes, excellent. It's kind of become a go-to place in San Luis Obispo, and it's a great place. So just thought I'd talk about something positive in the community.
Well, what makes it so special?
You know, I've kind of eaten my way through most of the menu, and I haven't found anything I didn't like.
But what is it, Italian, Cuban? What is it?
Yeah, Italian. Well, yeah, mostly Italian. Yeah, Italian, yes. Nice ambiance, excellent service. It can be a little noisy, but, you know, restaurants that are busy. You know, my dearly departed father always had a theory, don't go to a restaurant that's not busy. There might, you know, maybe it's not a good restaurant. This one continues to raise the bar in San Luis dining. I know there's a lot of good restaurants in San Luis Obispo, but I just wanted to give this one a shout out.
You don't go to a restaurant that's empty, and you don't go to a restaurant that has a help wanted sign in the window.
All right. Good advice. Have a great weekend.
All right, Jack, you too. I'm just following up on the book that Ann suggested. It's called An Inland Voyage, 1878. A travel log by Robert Louis Stevenson about a canoeing trip through France and Belgium in 1876. It is Stevenson's earliest book and a pioneering work of outdoor literature. As a young man, Stevenson desired to be financially independent so that he might pursue the woman he loved. And set about funding his freedom from parental support by writing travel logs. He also wrote The Silverado Squatters in 1883. And he went on this kayak trip with a Scottish friend, Walter Simpson. Mostly along the Oise River from Belgium through France. In the fall of 1876. That does sound fascinating. Off we go. We got news and traffic and weather. More of your phone calls and your text messages still to come. We're live, we're local, we're hometown. Friday, happy Pi Day. Dave Congleton, Craig Hill, just marching through the afternoon. Craig, can you handle a question on the Stolberg line?
Yeah, what you got?
All right, well, the listener is asking, what is the best way to smoke a turkey leg?
I don't know. I've only smoked a turkey once. But what I can tell you, as far as basic principles, is you want to use an offset or indirect heat. You want to use real wood, preferably red oak. That's what we use in this area. Everywhere you go around the country, that's kind of the indigenous wood is what they use. You know, there's post oak in Texas. They'll use all kinds of stuff depending on where you live. Here it's red oak. Low heat, I would probably say You know what? I don't want to go into the specific temps, but definitely low and slow.
All right.
Get that smoke flavor on there.
All right. We welcome your phone calls, 805-543-8830. Happy to read text messages as well, 800-549-5832. It's our Friday afternoon open line. We're just sitting around taking your phone calls, reading text messages like this. Here's Francine. Hey, Francine.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Francine.
How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm just calling to congratulate you on scoring that interview with Phil Hendry. I can't wait to hear it. I'm really excited.
I'm excited too.
As well.
Yeah, I would strongly encourage you to watch the doc. It's only like 75 minutes. Yeah. But it's just, and I've known Phil through Facebook for a while. I just didn't want to bother the guy, but I saw the documentary and I thought, well, this is the time to bother him because he'd want to promote it. And he responded right away. Sure. So,
yeah, I mean, and what did you have to lose? And yeah, I'm on his Facebook, as well. Again, lump from a long time ago, and I'm not sure how that happened either. But I did want to say that mentioning what he actually did, I mean, I think unless you actually listen to his show, it would be really hard to appreciate what he did and the talent that and genius that he was. But most of the time, his callers were actually real people.
Oh, yes.
Thinking they were... you know, they were just up in arms about these ridiculous guests that he supposedly had on.
And for people who never heard the segment, like one that pops into mind is that he's interviewing an airline pilot about flying. And it the longer they go in the interview, it's clear the pilot's in a bar at the airport. Yeah. And he's about ready to fly his plane. And people are calling in, and they have no idea that Phil Hendry is doing both voices.
Right. It was just hilarious. And yeah, people have to watch the documentary so they can see how he did it, how he made it sound. You know, he would move the microphone or the phone.
And you can, there are also clips on YouTube that also show it.
Yes.
For free.
Yeah, I watched many of them after I saw the documentary because I just had to listen to some of his shows after that. So anyway, congratulations. I'm really looking forward to that. I was hoping he was going to actually come and visit you and have some pie with you on Pie Day. But
we take what we can get.
Next best thing. All right.
All right, Francine, thank you. Yes, radio legend. I mean, those of us in broadcasting, Phil Hendry is a guy in and of himself. He'll be our special guest next Friday. Scott's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Scott.
Well, that lady just took the conversation I was just going to bring up with you about Phil Hendry. So you're going to have him on the air next week?
Yes. He's going to talk. Have you seen the documentary?
No, I haven't, but I remember he was on KVC at least 15 years ago.
I don't know the exact years, but it was like around 2004, 2005, 2006. Yep. We had him for about 3 years.
Weekends, I think it was.
No, it was right after me. I was on from 3 to 7, and Phil Hendry was on from 7 to 10.
Maybe it was the best of Phil Hendry on weekend, but I do remember him. Also, Jerry Doyle, who was another one I really miss. He's been gone for about 8 years.
He died, didn't he?
He died 2015, 2016, yeah. He was only 61.
I remember him because my old producer, Marty Hall, I don't know if it was a date, but she had drinks with him one night way back in the day.
Yeah, his show was, it was funny. It was political, but funny. I never called him. I wanted to call him, but it was syndicated at a different time. But, you know, Clark Howard, I spoke to him once. He's an interesting guy. But I've never would have known him if it wasn't for KBC. Even back in the day with Art Bell, I mean, it wasn't for KBC, I wouldn't have known Art Bell. And I used to listen to Art Bell daily. God.
And now you listen to George Norrie religiously, I know that.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, his schedules is a little different now, too. You know, he doesn't do every Friday. He has at least seven backups now. But he does get some time off. I think he's right now, I think he's about 71 now.
Yeah. Who does he think he is, Dave Ramsey? I mean, what's all these replacements?
Yeah. You know, curiosity, Dave, you're going to Amsterdam. It's one of your bucket lists. Are you just going to roam around Netherlands? Or are you going to stay? I mean, are you going out of the country or staying in the country?
We're going to the Netherlands and we're going to Belgium.
Okay. So you're going to go by train or are you going to go by plane?
We're
going
to buy boat.
Oh, that's right. Okay, you're going on a
we're going on a river cruise. Yes, probably my one and I scored discount seats on a luxurious river cruise, and I got these really cheap tickets because we're in the basement room. But normally it would be three times what I pay, and I can't afford that. So, but everybody talks about how great a river cruise is, so. Here's a chance to sample it, and I've always wanted to go to Amsterdam, and someone's texting in right now telling me how Bruges, Belgium. I saw that movie in Bruges in 2010. I had never heard of Bruges before. I didn't know anything about it. I watched that movie once. I immediately watched it a second time, and I made it a goal to go see Bruges one day. So I finally get to go.
Curiosity, Dave, what do you do on a river cruise when you're on it? I mean, you sit out, look out in your patio, and you see...
I don't know. I don't have a patio. Well, no, I can tell you this from the schedule. You know, if you take a traditional ocean cruise, you got a lot of days at sea. Right. There are no days at sea. This river cruise leaves Amsterdam on Saturday. It comes back the next Saturday. And every day you have at least one excursion, if not two. So on a typical day, you'll get up and have breakfast, and then you go off on an excursion, and you come back and have lunch on the ship, and then you go somewhere different in the afternoon. They just wear you down.
1 week, Dave?
Yeah. Well, eight days.
Okay. Well, I will hold up the callers. Listen, I guess, well, you're not leaving. You're leaving on the 4th, so you still
got... The 3rd. Yeah, I'll be here all next week.
Okay. I'll speak to you next week. Have a good weekend. You too, Craig.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Yes, Belgium, Bruges is, I'm really looking forward to seeing Bruges, and I do intend to go up in the tower. Mike is causing trouble in Los Osos. Hey, Mike, on the Stolberg line. Do multiple COVID boosters stop transmission of COVID? I don't know, Mike. I'm not a medical doctor, but I can tell you this. I have all my boosters, and even though I did have COVID, it ended up being a relatively mild case, and I didn't die from it, and I wasn't seriously knocked out. And I'd hate to think about what would have happened to me if I didn't have any of my boosters. But that's just my opinion. This is Hometown Radio. It's not the end of the world, but it's almost the end of the show. If you want in on the conversation, 805-543-8830. We're joined now by Mr. Eric Gorham, who has some local news to share with us. Eric, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. It looks like the 5th District race was called and conceded today.
What happened?
So it looks like Heather Moreno won. I was wrong on my prediction. I think I said 8 points when I was on the air with you, and it ended up being something a little over 56% to 43%. So it wasn't as close as we might have thought it was going to be.
Wow. I called it 7%, I thought, 7 or 8%. But yeah. Moreno won by, it sounds like, 13%?
Yeah, it was a big victory. And considering neither one are incumbents, or Heather's not an incumbent, that's a huge victory. And both, you know, on the city council and Atascadero. So they're both fairly well-known people in the biggest part of that district. So, but yeah, my understanding is Funk called Moreno today and conceded, and Moreno has claimed victory. So, and yeah, it was about 2,200 votes, give or take a few. So one thing that's nice, we don't have to see the yard signs and advertising anymore.
Yeah, if everybody will remove their signs. But we stress that Heather Moreno, and congratulations to her, is that she will not take office until the end of the year.
Correct. Yeah, January 1st, I believe. So, yeah, she will take office at the beginning of the year. She'll be stepping in the shoes of Debbie Arnold, so she has some big North County shoes to fill. And we'll see how it goes.
Well, that's a very impressive margin of victory, with all due respect to Susan Funk. Those are the kind of numbers that Debbie Arnold used to win by.
No, exactly. I can't remember what it was 3 years ago, but Debbie won by big digits last time. And this, I don't know if she surpassed Debbie or not, but these are really big numbers. It's one of those we wish she would have ran 2 years ago against Gibson, because she probably would have beat him handily.
He almost lost
to a nobody, so I think Moreno could have beat him handily in that race.
I do think that Heather Moreno could have beat Bruce Gibson 2 years ago. I don't know why she didn't run. When she was on the show, I believe she talked about the fact that the city manager was leaving, and she wanted to make sure someone was around while they brought in a new city manager.
Yeah, that's what I had heard, too, that she wanted to be around. And I think also one of the people that ran in the primary that year had started very, very early and kind of taken a little bit of support from her, and then didn't end up making it through. That might have been a reason, too. I'm guessing at that. You know, she's never told me that, and I've never had that conversation with her.
All right. Well, congratulations to newly elected Supervisor Heather Moreno, who will take office at the end of the year. We look forward to working with her.
We sure do. Well, you guys have a great weekend. Thanks, Eric, for taking the call.
Thanks for letting us know. Thanks for being our eyes and ears out there. We go to Joy in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Joy.
Yes, Dave. I was wondering, did you hear anything new about the Meathead Movers?
Yeah. Why is it every time you call in, you use a different name?
Well, because people...
Who are you?
I'm Joy.
Yeah, okay.
Are you there?
I'm kind of here. I'm debating.
Okay. All right. Well, let's keep going, because Meathead Movers is very important to the community, right?
It's more important to me to figure out who you are and why you call this show under a different name each time.
Well.
Privacy issue. Okay. All right. Thank you, whoever you are.
Was that Phil Henry?
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna make the assumption that it's a fake voice. All right, I can't prove that because I don't want to be insulting. But this is like the fourth time this person has called in, and each time it is a different name.
And do they have the same topic?
No. So I don't know what's going on.
Somebody just with a lot of time.
Our friend Adam Montiel, and I put the emphasis on the word friend. I think it was like back in 2010, he started calling the show under fake names, trying to cause trouble.
Yeah.
Because that's what Adam used to do.
Yeah.
And I wasn't here at the time. I was at El Dorado. It took me a while to think about that. And I had to call over here very nicely and say, you know, I'm just here with my little senior citizens. Do I have to put up with this? And all of a sudden, Adam stopped. So, yes, you're welcome to call in. And you're even welcome to make up a name. But if you're going to make up a name, if you're going to create a character, be that person each time. Don't be a different person each time.
Yeah, I never understood. The Tom Likas, he has those people that call in and do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like, I don't understand why he would put up with it. Because he had a compelling show, or has a compelling, I haven't heard in a while, but it was compelling.
He and Phil Hendry both do podcasts now, and Phil doesn't do the bits with the callers anymore. He just does the interviews.
But people would call in like that and kind of derail the show, and I always thought it was, just drive me nuts.
You were here when... Tom came up and very nice and gave us 2 hours. But I swear that second hour was some of the strangest phone calls I have ever heard. We had people calling from all over the country because Tom Likas was on this show.
And they were calling on with like fake voices.
Fake voices and fake characters.
And to me, it's like, do you think you're funny? Because you're not. Like, stop. I thought it was ridiculous and I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
But I understand that was part of Tom's shtick, but still I just don't understand why he put up with it. He was too good to need people with hack bits calling in. He didn't need their talents. Quote, finger quote.
Francine, this sounds like a Phil Hendry voice. What could be? I don't know. On the Stolberg line, whatever happened to Santa Maria Bill? Bill's still out there. Garth. They want to know where Garth is. Whatever happened to Garth? And we haven't heard from Garth in a while.
I don't know. Maybe he's busy doing stuff.
He must be doing stuff.
No, he called in like maybe a month ago, right?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
But people on the show, they fade in and out. There are people like Lance who have been with me from the beginning, and Greg in St. Louis who have been with me from the beginning. And other people drop in for a while, then they take off. Then they call Joseph in Oceano. You know, he was with us for a while.
Then he moved to South America.
Then he went to
Mexico,
but now he's back, and he's back on the show.
Yeah, he just couldn't go without listening to the show. Some people don't like, they have control issues, and they don't like when they are taken off the show, and then they refuse to come back, and that's fine.
Whatever happened to, on the Stolberg line, whatever happened to Will?
Will the Thrill.
Oh, Will Pompey?
No, wait, maybe. I think he's talking about the other Will.
What other Will?
Santa Maria.
Well, that's Santa Maria Bill.
But now, then he changed his moniker.
Well, Bill moved to, he's Dr. Will Powers. And Sam Cotton has lunch with him every week. So, what else we got? We got 3 minutes.
I don't know.
Hardy, after news, is going to talk about San Francisco. And how it's moving back to the right. Is this the beginning of a conservative trend in California?
I wouldn't even say moving towards the right. I would say lessening the move to the left. You know, it's nowhere near anywhere the word right should not be used, but less crazy. That's what I'll say. I mean, more pragmatic.
You're supposed to cover me while I reach for my notebook.
Well, I didn't know you were getting your notebook.
Well, I just want to see.
I have like a little fish tank of a window over here. I can't see what you're doing.
What do we got here? I'm just seeing. It says I had to record the promo.
You're going
to
see who's coming up next week?
It'd help if I remembered. Oh, we're going to have this young high school musician in. This is supposed to be some kind of child prodigy musician. So we'll see. Our friends from the Monday Club are going to be here. Natalia Noriega is going to check in. You ever to sea shanties?
Is that a...
Have
I ever sang them?
Yeah.
Are we going to have someone singing?
Yeah, we're going to have people coming in singing sea shanties. Mm-hmm. Kevin Harris and Susie Newman are going to join us from Solo Rep. They have a new play coming up.
So I better bring my pills for motion sickness?
Yeah.
I want to get that seasickness.
Susan Hoffman's going to do our monthly book visit. Susan's going to come from down the hallway. Susan Schoenig, because she's going to do the dancing for Lumina.
Hmm. She's coming all the way down here. All the way down here.
And definitely Chief Rick Scott and hopefully Mayor Stewart and definitely Phil Hendry. On the Stolberg line, did Sandy ever move to Arizona? I think you're talking about Sandy Boo, and she is. She called in last week, I think it was. They're moving in June. We moved to Gary in Pismo. Hey, Gary, got a minute.
Hey, hi, Dave. Real quick, I just wanted to agree with Craig. I don't think San Francisco is headed that right at all. They just want to go less crazy, and I think forever probably they're going to be liberal. I also wanted to throw in that we went to a Giants game a couple years ago, and instead of singing Take Me Out to the Ballpark in the seventh inning, everybody in the stadium sang God Bless America. So
really?
There you go.
In San Francisco? Yep.
Everybody stood and sang, and everybody was happy, and everybody was as blue liberal as could be. So it's
I like,
a big country.
I like in Boston, they sing Sweet Caroline for seventh inning stretch.
Yeah, but it'll be fun to hear Jack's bit again, and thanks for everything.
Where's Jeremy?
I don't know. I'm hoping that he's either permanent housing or in a hotel. And if I find out or hear anything, I'll let you know. It's a
Please
good
do.
Question, but I'm happy to not see him.
It's our homeless friend on Broad Street. All right, Gary, have a good weekend. Off we go. We got news and traffic and weather. Jack Hardy on the other side talking about conservatives and San Francisco. I will stick around.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.